Turn to Acts 17. You know, one of the things that I was thinking about when Pastor Lisa was teaching, and again, several months ago, this is not an accusation. This is not me anything more than just saying this. I don't necessarily listen to Stephen Furtick's whole sermons a lot. And again, it's not because he's not good, and it's not because he doesn't have good theology. It's just that I'm drawn more to like Bill Johnson, Keith Moore, just where it's scripturally where you dig in. Not saying he's bad, so again, don't take it wrong in this. But I've only heard a couple of his sermons, whole sermons. And one day, Jesse and I came home, and we just flipped it on, and it was on, and so we just kind of listened to him because I hadn't heard him much. And he was talking about how, a lot of times we, especially when someone's preaching, you just kind of get the beginning and the end of their testimony. In other words, I sowed a seed for this to come true, and Bob came up and gave me all the money I needed, and miracle happened. And you really miss all the in-between. And he used his wife, which is, listen, you don't marry a preacher unless you want to be used as an example. But he used his wife as an example, and she went to get a shot of some sort, and when they got back, she goes, she was telling the staff, yeah, I got a shot today. It hurt a little bit, but I got it. And Stephen Furtick, if you can look at him, he just looked at her and said, honey, you are missing the best part of the story. She goes, there's no other part of the story, Steve. And just was like, there is no other part of the story. He said, no, you're missing the best part of the story. You should have seen what she did when they were she squealed and was like, and she said, you weren't supposed to tell him that. But a lot of times when preachers preach and when we have tendency to give testimonies, and again, I think I've said this Sunday because I keep hearing this, is that it's very unfair to the congregation that you're preaching to simply say, I woke up this morning and there's a little battle on my mind, but God came through. And because then, because they wake up in the morning and they're facing the rage and they're facing the battles and the turmoil and the frustration, and maybe they don't start out correctly. Maybe they don't start out right. And so when they don't start out right, they're like, I just need to throw it all away. I didn't start out right. And that's why I wanted you to understand when Jesse and I went over, when we had the little deal with a venue for Allison's wedding show up, neither of us wore halos for about 3 or 4 hours. I mean, we were under full-fledged attack. But see, the point isn't necessarily how you start. Now, it's better if you start right. But it's better to start. Okay, this is not my message tonight. Remember the parable of the two sons? And the dad said, I want you guys to go out and work in the field. And the one said, oh, absolutely, Father. I would love to go out in the field and work for you. And it'd just be, you are part of my charmed life and I would just love it. And the second son said, forget it, Dad. One of them blew it at the beginning. But then it said, the one that said, yeah, I'll go out and work in your field, got distracted by other things and didn't go out in the field. And the one that said, no way, Dad, that started off wrong, said, you know what? I need to go do that. And he went out and he got back on the horse, and one of them was commended for what he did, and it was the one that said no. It was the one that got red with rage. You did hear why, just speaking of red and nurses, which I don't think I talked, you talked about nurses. You know why nurses carry around a red crayon with them at all times? Because they never know for sure when they'll have to draw blood. I'm here all night, so just... All right, are you in Acts 17? All right, we've got Paul and Silas out of Philippi. They've gone through Amphipolis. Don't read it for a couple of weeks and I lose it all. They've gone through Amphipolis and Apollonia, and they've gotten to Thessalonica. In Thessalonica, again, it seems like they have good things going. 3 weeks they got there, and then some troubles reared their ugly head. And again, it was the Jews that caused the problem in that city. And so we in verse 10, they have been ushered out, and they move another about 45 miles down the road. So let's read verse 10, and we're just going to get going here. I'll read this portion, and I'm going to try to cover as much ground as possible tonight. Come on, man, where's your faith? Verse 10, And the brethren immediately sent them away, Paul and Silas, by night unto Berea, whom coming thither went straight to the synagogue of the Jews. That's where they started. And these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. We'll start here, obviously. In that they received the word with readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea. They came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul, just simply, if you can think of it like a conductor of a train, just basically they were in charge of taking him. It's just kind of a weird word we wouldn't use. But those that took Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for them to come to him with all great speed, they departed. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when they saw the city holy. Say holy. Holy. That's not H-O-L-Y. Remember when I was a young one and I was sitting with my dad and I said, "Dad, I think I finally figured out why they call it the Holy Bible." He said, "Oh, really?" I said, "Yeah, because you know, on like just, if it's just the New Testament, they just call it the New Testament. But if it's the whole Bible, then it's the whole Bible. And so they call it the Holy Bible." That's not really why they call it the Holy Bible, but you know, we'll give one to Thad for creativity. But this word is holy, like all of it. The whole city was given to idolatry. Amen. So let's go back here. And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away. We've talked about that. And then in verse 11, we're going to start in verse 11 here because that's where we ended last week. And I really want to take a few minutes here at the beginning, even though we covered the 3 points. I want to focus in on a couple things. But it says these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And again, some of the teaching that some of the commentators that I read and remember, commentators are simply commentators. There's nothing special about them taters. They're just common. All right. In other words, they have the ability to study some stuff out and then they give you their opinion. So what many of them say is that word noble is dealing with a rank in society. And so in Berea, there were a lot. It was much more of an influential city, and there had more ranking people, rich people, wealthy people that lived there. But again, if you'll see there, it says these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they. So in other words, it had nothing to do in that they had more money, in that they were military powers, in that they were, you know, higher in authority. No. It's what they did with the word that brought them into nobility. Now that word noble does mean higher in order. And so to understand what is being said here is that the people in Berea were higher in level of in the kingdom of God. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. We talked about it last week. But when we're dealing with higher in order in the kingdom of God, some people are like, no, we're all even in the kingdom of God. And Jesus tells us different. Jesus said, there's least in the kingdom of heaven. He said, Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. He said, from the days, days of, until now. He said the greatest in the kingdom has been John the Baptist. Up to this point, the greatest in the kingdom. But he said, in the kingdom of God, the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. So the least, so there's a least. He talked many times, his disciples talked about the greatest. And Jesus talked about the greatest. And Jesus said, that's not mine to give. So now that does not mean that one of us is better than another. You know, sometimes when you look at lay people and people in the congregation, they can start feeling inferior to the pastor. Well, pastor, you've given up your life to preach the word, and you've gone to Bible college, and all you do all day is talk to God, and all you do, and so what do I have to compete with that? Because I can't compete with that. You are higher than I am, and you're closer to God than I am, and so they put the pastors way up here where it's something like we can't attain what the pastor got because he's greater than I am. Well, and there's nothing further from the truth. Now, I am wonderful, and I think that's unanimous here. Thank you. Thank you so much. But the greatest in the kingdom has nothing to do with who's better. The greatest in the kingdom would have everything to do. Let me give you this example. Let's say we have a health club, okay? And there's three different types of memberships at the health club. There's the membership that says you can come in and use as many free weights as you want to use. All right? $10, right? For $20, you can come and use all the free weights and you can use our Olympic size pool. And for $30, you can use all the weights you want, use our Olympic size pool, and you can use our suntanning, which is the only reason Allison goes there. You can use our suntanning area extra. So you can go the lowest level and get bare minimum. You can go somewhere in between and get more, or you can go the platinum member, the highest level, and get all that you could dream of. Now that's exactly where it is in the kingdom of God. There's a lot of Christians who are used to operating at a level of entry level. In other words, they're doing just enough because, I'll fly away, oh glory. And beloved, I want you to understand, heaven is beautiful, heaven is wonderful. I was listening to a YouTube of Kat Kerr. And she said her whole purpose of her ministry is to make heaven real to people. And she said, I've been there, I've visited there in a prophetic dream. And she said, you don't want to miss heaven. She said, don't feel sorry for any of your family members that went before you. Don't ever feel sorry for them. Because there's no way they would even want to come back because heaven's that wonderful. And so heaven is awesome, heaven is amazing, and heaven's a place that we all want to go. But when you are just living your life to say, that's all I'm getting, it's heaven. I don't want anything. Again, you are in the kingdom, but you are not getting all the kingdom has for you. So what else is there? Oh, there's healing in the kingdom of God. You can come in and swim in the Olympic size pool of the healing of God and enjoy all the benefits of healing. There's His provision. There's clarity of mind. There's the mind of Christ. There we can go all the way through all these benefits. We read Psalm 103 on Sunday. No more destruction. You have all those benefits. How much do you want? How much are you going to get? That's in your hands. That's what this is. That's what they say. The noblest, the one that was highest ranking in the kingdom of God were these Christians at Berea. Actually, the Jews in Berea were a higher level. Why? Now, see, that's why we got, was it just the fact that they were, well, Berea, it's fun to say. They were just Berea. Is that the only reason that they were more noble? No, the Bible says basically three things. It says two, but there's one assumed. The first one that's assumed is they showed up to hear the word. Every one of you in this place overcame one of the biggest battles most people have. And that's why the Bible, that's why God in the Paul of the Bible, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. Because you are not going to receive what the Holy Spirit has for you without going into a place. I think about that, the prophetic word that I had. And I think the fact that, you know, if I was sitting in a, if I was up in front of a congregation of 1,000 people, I could throw that kind of prophecy, that word of prophecy out and be like a blindfolded dart thrower and just, I'm going to hit something. I just don't know what, who, but I can throw it out there with safety. But when you look out there and you've got a handful of people out there and the Holy Spirit's giving you a very specific, word, you're knowing, all right, somebody needs to understand this. Somebody needs this. And my question is, don't raise your hand. I'm asking a question. So let wait for the both. I'm going to give you a multiple choice question. Who was able to receive that word of prophecy? Those that were here or those that stayed home? So to receive what the Holy Spirit is wanting to instill into you, your pastor, I show up every time I'm getting ready to study. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to give them what I think they should get. Because I would start talking about being red with rage and not using cast iron skillets on your husband. That's where I would go. But I want to hear what the Holy Spirit has for me to give to you because you're here. I am yours. You are mine. And God has given me the appointment and the assignment to make sure you are given exactly what you need. The gentleman that was down in Texas when we were down there, and he came up to me afterwards, and I would often say, I preach to the thousands. And my mentality on that never is that I'm not preaching to y'all and preaching up there. It's always, I'm giving to you here. In this place, if Elisa and Neil were the only two that showed up at this sanctuary, I would preach to them the same way as I'm preaching to everybody else in this room. There have literally been times I've preached just like this with one person out there. Has that person been you, Pastor Elisa, at least once or twice? And I'll give my same effort. I'll give my same, because again, that's what I've been called to do. So I say that, and then one day he just came up to me, these puppy dog eyes. And if you knew the guy, you'd see his eyes. And he said, Pastor, I know you preach into the thousands, but I was the one here today and I needed a word. And the mercy of God saved him. Okay, the mercy of Pastor Thad saved him. Because everything inside of me wanted to say, I preach, you don't listen. Because the problem that you're having would have been the word that came out of my mouth if you'd have listened. So my point here is this. If you want to hear the word from God for you, for this season, for today, be here. I can listen to it on the internet. I can listen to it on your website, Pastor Thad. That's just as good. It's good. That's why I do it. It's not just as good. It's just not just as good. How many of you in this room have ever listened to a sermon on YouTube or on CD or on DVD? How many of you have ever been interrupted by it and had to go do something else right in the middle of it? How many of you cleaned your house? How many of you cleaned your house while you were listening to it? How many had a conversation with someone next to you while you were doing it? How many, my point is that when you're sitting in here, there's a much more of a chance that you are in a position to receive what the Holy Spirit is saying. All right. So show up. But see, here's the second thing. And put that scripture back up there. Because 9 times out of 10, if you've heard about the church of Berea, you've heard that last part where it says, and they searched the scripture daily. That made them more noble. I've heard sermons. I've heard scriptures. Matter of fact, there was a time in my life where I thought that set the Berea church apart, is that they sat out there while the preacher was preaching and was like, I don't know about that preacher, but I'm sure going to check it out when I get home. I don't know. I don't like the way he said that. I'll write it down. I'll check it out. But I don't know. Maybe not. But the point is, and here's the thing that I got last week when I was studying this, is that I believe the key point in that church at Berea wasn't just that they searched out the scriptures, but they received the word with readiness of mind. In other words, they didn't come here going, all right, if I like it, I'll come back. I'll give them the offering. And no, they sat on the edge of their seat. They're ready to receive it. They're ready to understand. They wanted to hear the words of life. Now that second part comes into play where they didn't just go, okay. No, they went home and they dug deeper into it. They were Jews, so they understood the Pentateuch. They understood the prophets. And so they would go home and they would look further into it. And again, they didn't go on Google to try to disprove what preacher said. It doesn't say that they tried to prove the scriptures wrong. And that's maybe it's just me, but that's the feeling I get when I hear people bring the church of Berea up. Oh, they didn't trust anything the preacher said. Now again, I'm telling you what. If you go to Scripture, that same gentleman down in Texas, he looked at me and I was using the Scripture, and he said, "You know that Scripture that you preached today?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I've heard that preached 100 times in my life." He was a missionary kid. I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I've never heard it preached like you preached it." I said, "Yeah. But the way you preached it, yeah, is exactly what it says." I was like, "Really? Really?" Here's my point. Is if you go to Google and type in prosperity message, the first 20 responses is probably going to be how people that talk about God blessing you financially are going to hell, and they're leading you to hell. Because don't tell me you're searching the scriptures. Oh, listen to me on this, beloved. Don't tell me you're searching the scriptures if you're searching Google. Listen, Google is not spiritually inspired by Almighty God. This is. His oath is. The scriptures are. And they didn't go search to try to find out what they could disprove. They went and searched the scripture daily to find out if it was true. And let me, are you ready for this? It's the Pastor Thad guarantee. I know some of y'all going, I don't know. I will guarantee you that if I preach something, I feel confident that if you search out the scriptures, you will agree with me. I'm also confident of the fact that if you search out Google, you'll have arguments. I'm not here to give you arguments. I'm here to give you answers from the scriptures. Nowhere does it say Google is life, but thy word is life. Nowhere does it say Google is truth, but right here, even if Joey Woodson works there, but it says thy word is truth. You will know what Google says, and it will make you free. You will know the truth. And the truth that you know. Listen, I use Google. Because again, sometimes it puts me in front of people that I would not normally hear, and they have insight that I need. But beloved, if you go to Google before you go to the Word, and you allow someone else's, but they use the Bible. Of course, the devil used the Bible. The devil used the Bible. Can I throw this out at y'all? Again, I'm getting really daring here today. I would challenge to say that the devil knows more about God than anybody on this earth. And I know that sounds weird, but Pastor Thad, I'm born again. Pastor Thad, I love God with all my heart. Yeah, that's what differentiates you between you and the devil. When Ryan played basketball, he knew plays, but his plays that he knew was for him to score. The opposition would study those same plays to stop him. One wanted to win, and one wanted him to lose. The enemy knows the things of God better than most Christians. And that's why he spends so much, that's why it's so easy to fool you. Because he can come in and give you a glimpse of truth wrapped in a lie. Or a lie wrapped in truth, however you want to put that. And a Christian who is more familiar with Google than they are with the Word can be deceived. But what caused the Berean church to be higher in order in the kingdom and greater in the kingdom and in a position to receive more from God in the kingdom is that they wanted the Word of God more than anything else in their lives. They wanted to feed on the Word of God. They were excited. Oh, He's coming. He's giving us the Word of truth. I'm not going to miss it. I'm going to show up. I'm going to receive it. I'm going to sit on the edge of my seat and I'm going to be excited about what I hear. I'm going to go ahead and amen Him every now and then. Whew. All right, let me see here. Is there a scripture or two? All right, let's look at just a couple of scriptures here. I want to get somewhere tonight. Well, I'm going somewhere, but Matthew, did I say Mark? Did I say James? Okay. Go to Mark 4. Go to James 1 and Matthew 13. There. Just go to Mark 4 first, John. I won't leave you hanging back there, brother. Whew. I'm getting preachified up here. And this is Wednesday night Bible study. But I ain't done because there's one point I want to get to here in a second. But Mark chapter 4, verse 20, I want you to notice this. And these are they which are sown on good soil, such as hear the word and receive it. And they don't have all the junk in there blocking it. They're not taking in all the weirdness and all the extra stuff. They don't have offense in their heart. They don't have all that kind of stuff. They hear the word and they receive it with readiness. Go to James chapter 1. Beloved, your promotion in the kingdom. Is anybody else that was here last night keep smelling fire? Yeah, I've smelled it all day. James chapter 1, verse 21. Your ability to be promoted in the kingdom of God has everything to do with your readiness to receive the word. I want the word. I want more of the word. Don't be a part-time. Don't think that you can be a part-time word person and be a high level in the kingdom of God and receive a high level in the kingdom of God. You can't do it. Notice here. It says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. It's fun to say. And receive with meekness, or in other words, an open, yielded heart, the engrafted word. What are we doing? We're receiving not just the word. Now here's another thing. If is that tree hooked to anything over there? Make sure I don't get in front of there. I'm hiding from the cops. All right. Just a joke. Just a joke. Okay. So, huh? I was hiding from it. All right. So what it means to be engrafted, and I don't want to totally tear this tree apart, but, oh, I got it. What it means to be engrafted, and most of us understand this, like a boo-boo now, is taking something that was not originally a part of that tree and making it a part of that tree. And so when, in order to do that, I mean, you can take a branch and engraft it into a tree. I don't know how, but you can do it. And the life of that tree, whatever that tree is, that branch will take on its nature. In medical things, they'll put kidneys in people, hearts in people from other places, and it's engrafted in. They'll even put skin grafts on people in order to cover up wounds or things like that. But the point of it is for it to be engrafted or become a part of that person. Now, what happens in most cases, you come to church, and basically you hear the word. Now, for most of us out there, if I put that tree over here and left that tree like that, probably most of us, except maybe John or Reese or Savannah or Anna Lee, because they won't run up back there, would be the only ones that maybe would notice that it's really not a part of the tree until the wind blows. Ouch. And once the wind blows, it's gone. And that's why when you, all you're doing is picking up some spiritual knowledge, not listening in church very much, not really going to church very much, you might hear something, but it's not engrafted into you. The difference happens. That's why when most people that's why when most people get into that battle, they're a lower level because, again, they've not received it. And so they're lower level. So when the battles come, they never see themselves being promoted. They stay at that interstage. I believe in God that I don't. That... How about fleshly temptations? Things that you struggled with before you were born again. It says in Romans 7, the good I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I keep on doing. Why? Because the word, you've heard the word, but it's not become a part of you. But now if you take this same tree and you work the word, you receive it with gladness, it becomes a part of you. And don't let me down, plastic tree. But now it's a part of you. Now when the winds come, the same shaking, it's not removing it from you. And so again, it is your ability to receive the word and make it part of you. The engrafted word of God, which is able to sozo, completely save your mind, your will, emotions. And it changes you. It promotes you. Are you with me here? Go to Matthew 13. I'm not going as fast as I want to go, and that's okay, I guess. Matthew 13, verse 13. It says, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing not, and hearing they hear not, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, hear not, neither do they understand. They're not receiving the word. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you'll see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed. There's no receiving. They're not ready to receive the word. And should understand with the hearts, and should be converted. Oh, goodness gracious. What is that last part? And I should heal them. The Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus and said, will you heal my daughter? And he said, listen, it's not right for me to give the food for the children and throw it to the dogs. And she said, mercy, have mercy on me. Heal my daughter. And Jesus looked at her because of her persistence and said, I've not found this kind of faith. It's the greatest faith I've seen. Greatest. Greatest. She was operating in kingdom principles, and she didn't even realize it. But why was she? Because she was operating great, noble, she received her healing. Her daughter received her healing. I'm telling you, beloved, the temptation you have when sickness and pain hits you is to go, I'm going to pick on Google again here, just simply to go to Google and Google symptoms and go to Google and Google remedies and go to what MedMD and find out what you can do. And it's the first thing that comes to your mind because, again, I get it. Relief is a good thing. But if you want to walk in healing and be healed and be restored and have things restored to you, beloved, there's some of you out there that has some stuff stolen from you. There's some of you out there that are in the same boat that I'm in. And that because of a death of a loved one, you should have gotten something you didn't get. You've had some things stolen from you. You had some things taken from you. There's some of you that maybe it's your job. Maybe they've refused to give you a raise. Maybe they refused to give you the promotion that you were supposed to get. And I'm telling you what, your answer doesn't lie on Google. Your answer doesn't lie with Bob Smith Esquire, lawyer, right? It doesn't lie in, that maybe something the Holy Spirit leads you down. Your answer lies in the Word of God. Getting the Word of God in you. Because when you get the Word of God in you, you may start off a little bit haywire where you're a little frustrated, but all of a sudden the Word of God will get you back on track, and all of a sudden you'll have someone sow to you thousands of dollars because they mistreated you. Your answer lies in the Word. Are you with me here? Don't let your ears wax cold. Don't let your eyes just become hard and not see what the Word of God is saying. Sit when you're in service. Be ready for that one word. One word from God can change your eternity, Beulah. One word from God can change your eternity, Todd. One word from God can change your destiny, Steve. One word from God can change everything for you. But you've got to listen, and you've got to be ready, and you've got to be attentive, and you've got to be ready to say, Lord, I need to know what I do, what I'm to do. And then when you get it, you go do it. Goodness gracious. Don't mind me. All your guys' phones just go off out there. Mine goes off in the sound system. But then they searched the Word daily. It wasn't enough just to come and to receive it. They went daily and began searching. Is it true? Does the Word of God back it up? When I house sat for Jessica when her mom, when we were dating, her mom and her and her son, who's your brother, went to Hawaii, and so I house sat for him. And the guy that they went out there to see actually sent her mom a book called Christianity in Crisis. And on a scale from 1 to 10, I would rate it a negative 6 billion. It's a trash book. And if you've ever read it, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm just telling you, all it does is tear down the kingdom of God. But it was sitting there because this guy, that's kind of how he believed. He believed against a lot of what we believe. And I was in the denomination at that time, but I saw it there and I knew better. I knew better. Most of you guys know my testimony, but it was sitting there. So I thought, I'm just going to glance through it because I'm just curious. So I pulled it over and I opened it up. And the first thing is a quote from John Evanzini. Horrible, horrible John Evanzini, because he believes God wants you blessed. So I read the quote. And the quote is something to the level of, the reason Jesus said the foxes have their dens and the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head, was simply because they were on the road and there was no Ramada Inn. If there would have been a Ramada Inn, he would have stayed in a Ramada Inn, but there wasn't, and so he had to sleep on a rock. And I thought, that's intriguing. Now, Why would I say that's wrong? Outside of my tradition, that's interesting. Let me go to the scripture. It's interesting. Let me go to scripture. I read it, and they got kicked out of town at the end of the day, and you didn't travel those roads at night. So they had to stop a short ways down the road, set up camp, and put their head on a rock, and call it sleep. And somebody came to him and said, I want to follow you. You sure about that? The foxes, they have a place they go to every night to sleep. The birds have a place they go every day to sleep. And this is where I'm sleeping tonight. Are you sure? And I was like, he's right. He's right. I need to message Hank Hindegraff and say, thank you so much for getting me turned on to the word of faith. I don't think he'd appreciate it, but all right. Search the word. 2 Timothy tells us to study to show yourself approved. Psalm 119, 175, I think it is, verses of the Word of God, about the Word of God. So every verse is about the Word of God. It uses precepts, commands, law, statutes, a lot of different words in there, but every one is about the Word of God. And it says, open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your Word. Open my eyes. Let me behold you. Let me see you. Why? Because if I see you, I'll be like you. There's a reason that a lot of Christians are not walking and operating like God operates. It's because they've heard sermons, but they've not seen Him. They've not had an open heart to receive, to see Him, and to have Him be a part of all they are. I'm out of time. Goodness, I didn't want to be out of time. You see, Paul wasn't about just getting people saved. He wanted them changed. Can we go back to Acts 17? Let's see if we can at least get them out of... I'm not going to do as much teaching on this as possible. I'm just out of time, so I'm just going to... Verse 12, Acts 17, 12. Therefore, many of them believed. Again, what did they do? They received it with... These guys believed not because they were just told, but because they received, and they studied, and were convinced. But when the Jews of the Thessalonians, verse 13, hold it, remember the Thessalonians, do you have the map up there, John? What does Thessalonica have to do with Berea? I forgot to turn off. Berea, Thessalonica, 45 miles apart, approximately. Thessalonica wanted them out. What did they do? They left. Will you stop it? I've got it on silent. I've got the volume down. Oh, I bet you it's that one. Don't mind me while I figure this out. But notice this. This is what they both had in common. They're both in Macedonia. The Jews of Thessalonica didn't want them just out of their town. They wanted them out of their region. We want them as far from them as they possibly can. Listen, the Jews, and this may sound familiar, Jews weren't interested in truth. They were interested in being right. That's all they cared about, was being right. And therefore, they hunted, the Jews of Thessalonica, came to Berea. This happened the first missionary journey too. Remember when it was Iconium and they came down? And they were the ones that stoned them, remember? So I think Paul learned a lesson. They had knowledge the word of God was being preached by Paul at Berea. They came down thither and stirred up the people. And I want to throw this out at you here. A lot of times we get worried in the church by the heathen, the sinners. And it is really clear in Paul's journeys that his biggest problem wasn't the heathen. His biggest problem was religion. Well, somebody tell my... All right, let me just put on airplane mode. It's coming through this, is what it's coming through. And so I don't want to turn that one off. But all right. I'm having all sorts of revelations up here that has nothing to do with my sermon. I did something different today, so it won't go anymore. So, all right. Where was I? Oh, the biggest enemy to what God, the move of God, the biggest enemy to the move of God is religion. It's not heathen. And we've got to make sure we understand that the thing that will stop what God wants to do amongst us is not the fact that heathen don't agree with us. It's the religious group that want to say it's wrong. It's the religious group that wants to say that, oh, that's not what God meant by that. Again, I we're going to get into it next week, so I'm going to stop that because. But we need to realize that the enemy will try anything within his power. Listen, when you come to church, I will guarantee that the enemy will try to get you to think about 150 things that you haven't thought about all day. And now it's all you can think about. Because he doesn't want you to hear this stuff. When you get to church, you'll have somebody keep texting you where it keeps dinging on that. Now, the enemy will bring distractions on you. He'll get you caught in a, you know, if you've got data on your phone, he'll get you caught in a thread of that. Why? Because all he wants is to distract you. Because if there's one word that's going to make you free, he wants you to miss that word. And we need to recognize that. And again, that's why I say, listen, don't be so free with Google. Listen, Abraham Lincoln made it very clear in his Gettysburg Address that not everything you read on the internet is true. I read that quote on the internet, so. But we need to recognize that just because somebody has a website doesn't make it true. Amen. All right, let's stand together. I hope you received something tonight. I didn't get a whole lot further. I got a little deeper. And it's your ability to receive that determines how much you get of the kingdom of God. Go to Proverbs 4, John. This proves it. I mean, all this is doing, I'll get more scripture and it'll prove it. Verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Receive them. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Receive them. For they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. And then right here, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Watch what you allow in. Protect it. For out of it are the issues of life. And again, if you look that up, it's the boundaries of life. How much life do you want to get? How much life do you want to walk in? How big do you want to receive in the kingdom of God? It has to do with your receiving the Word of God. Beloved, get hungry. Get hungry for the Word. Listen, I'm telling you what, force yourself when you get home from a hard day's work. Before you sit down and you watch some TV show, a sewing show, Criminal Mind, I don't know. Before you sit down and you just watch something mindless on TV, my challenge to you is find a sermon. Get in the Word. Open up the Scriptures. Find someone to put some Word in you. Because listen, you're hearing sermons whether you want to hear them or not. When the first thing you turn on is the TV, you're getting a sermon. It's just not the Word. All right, I'm going to leave it at that. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Word. Your Word was sent to heal us. You sent your Word to heal us, which Scripture says, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those that are bruised. That's your Word. Your oath. And so, Father, our number one, again, our number one thing in this life as children of God has got to be the Word. Listen, if we make the number one thing in our life being a good dad, we've missed it. Because without the Word, we cannot be the dad that God wants us to be. If we make our number one thing in life to be a good employee, we've missed it. Because if we're not in the Word, if the Word of God's not number one in our lives, we can never attain that which you have called us to attain. If we make in our lives the purpose to be a good anything, but we have set your Word secondary, then we have missed everything, and we will miss everything. But if we place your Word in you as number one in our lives, the top level of authority in our lives, and our hunger and our thirst for you is greater than anything else, then Father, everything else in our life will come into line. But we got to go after you. Hungry for you. Hungry for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name.